皆さん、こんにちは。自分自身の生き方や美しさを大切にするポッドキャスト You Do You へようこそ。私、ユーナとハナが一女性として日本で暮らすにあたり感じることをガールズトークしていきます。みんな違ってみんないい、そんな楽しい社会を目指しながら、真面目なトピックからエクサイティングなものまでお送りしていきます。なかなか気づけないこと、普段から気になっていたこと、一瞬立ち止まって一緒に考えてみませんか？
Hi, welcome to You Do You, a podcast about honoring your most beautiful, authentic self. We don't live in a one-size-fits-all world. We dance to the beat of our own drum. We embrace what's human and what makes life interesting. Yuna and I are here to discuss what this means when it comes to living in Japan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to You Do You. 皆さん、こんにちは。Today we're going to be talking about negative comments mainly on the internet, which is not fun. 今日は、いわゆるアンチとかネガティブコメント、批判コメントみたいなことについてお話ししたいと思います。最近結構ポッドキャストが英語寄りになってきてるんですけど、一応ちょっと日本語も入れつつ英語でみたいな感じで、続けていきたいと思っています。Okay, so today we're going to be talking about negative comments, Hannah. It's not a fun topic.
No, I'm laughing about it now, but there's definitely a reason why we chose it. And I think, I don't know, I feel like there's just so many things about like culture these days. Like, I don't know whether it's hit Japan yet, but around like England and America and like Europe, there's a big movement of cancel culture, which can lead to a lot of people piling onto someone for saying something wrong, or maybe a show that was popular then isn't popular now because it doesn't, it's not politically correct anymore, that sort of stuff. Have you noticed that in Tokyo or in Japan?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's probably not as big as that in Europe, but as you just said right now, like politically correct, we actually have a word, porikore, in Japanese. Mm.And it's basically short for politically correct, but we actually use it, a lot of people here use it in a negative way, mm-hmm. more like you say that, I say this, everybody says this, but whatever we say, it's going to be judged as porikore, nobody can speak anything anymore, like everything is porikore, so it's not really used in a positive kind of meaning.It's more like a iyami. It's more like, you know, to kind of.
Yeah, it's a frustration. Say, yeah. It's annoyance, right?
Yeah.
But
I think it's also really difficult. Yeah, because, I mean, the whole reason that we wanted to talk about negative comments is because I got negative comments on the internet on a daily basis now after publishing the book. And it's basically because the theme is lookism. Mm. And it's, you know, it's a social issue here a lot in Japan and also other places as well. But it's also a topic where people will...you know, politically correct you a lot because there's no, you know, perfect definition for lookism yet. So if somebody, for example, I would, you know, talk about lookism saying, you know, you shouldn't judge people by people's apparent, you know, like how they look and things like that, then another person will correct me and say, well, look at your friends. Like they all look very healthy. They all look very pretty. What about you? It's not like you have a scar on your face. What about like your boyfriend or, you know, the people you've dated? It's not like you've dated someone extremely short, but you know, I'm not saying you should get rid of like your taste or, you know, it's not saying like you shouldn't think of something as beautiful or ugly because you're a human being and you're not an AI. So you will always have a comment on something or someone and you will always have like a taste on what is beautiful and what is not. But my definition is that you shouldn't vocalize that and hurt somebody. And of course, you know, in a very simple way, you shouldn't be like, you should never be like, okay, your friend is ugly or like you are ugly. But also for me, I would also say like, you shouldn't really say things like, oh, like you have really good, you have really big boobs. Like that's amazing. Because, you know, you might be commenting, you might be like complimenting that person, but that person might, you know, really, really take it personally. And, you know, it might hurt her because, you know, she might not really like her boobs or something. So I just don't think you should vocalize comments on people's looks, whether you're complimenting them or if you're, you know, talking negative about them. But yeah, so like, that's why I feel like the word porikore, politically correct, is used a lot these days, especially when we're talking about social issues that are very tricky like this.
Just to take a step back for those, because we don't really use lookism so much here. So for the listeners who aren't from Japan, can you just say, yeah, like, lookism, you know, just like a
Lookism is actually, it's actually an English word that's from the 1970s. And it's basically, I mean, the simple definition is don't judge people by how they look. And the beginning of this word lookism was in the United States when they wanted to embrace more people like on media who are not, you know, Victoria's Secret model shaped people. They wanted to, you know, it was diversity, more for people who are plus size and things like that. But now it's gotten to a bigger sense, which is more like, you know, hair color or like skin color or your height, or if you're in Japan, like if you have a double eyelid or if you don't, you know, things like that, or in general. So yeah, so lookism is basically about judging people on how they look or judging yourself on the way you look. And especially because in Japan, you know, a little while ago it was like the thinner the better, so a lot of people will, you know, be in this diet loop where it's like you have to just be really, really thin for social media and everything. And, you know, if you're very thin, like, you, it's a higher chance for you that you get past, you pass, like, interviews for job hunting. And, like, for specific careers, like, they would judge you on the way you look for the entrance exams and, like, job hunting. So that was all based on lookism because, you know, you're being judged by the way you look. Like, you don't look good enough to work for the publishing industry, or like you look like you would be a cabin attendant, so you pass, or you know, things like that.
I know quite a few people, myself included, just kind of doing like resume in England and doing resume in Japan. I was quite surprised that like I was expected to put my photo on my seat or on my resume. Like that's so not something you would do here, because, you know, clearly for, I guess, like lookism reasons, like you you don't put your picture on there because, you know, you're being judged on your qualifications and your experience and your abilities. Whereas like in Japan, putting my face on like my headshot on my resume, kind of, I was like, oh, am I pretty enough in this picture? Is this enough to get a job? And I can imagine that, like, you know, it just creates a culture where, like you say, you're being judged on your appearances rather than your abilities.
Right.
Korea's worse, right?
Right, definitely. And yeah, so the whole reason that I wanted to talk about negative comments is because since after publishing the book, I got like so many positive comments from friends and Amazon reviewers and, you know, students, and I'm really thankful for all of that. But at the same time, I do get, you know, random hate comments as well, and I expected that because, you know, it's a topic that not every single person will, you know, embrace the same way will I do. So I did expect to get these negative comments, and the first time that I got it was like right after I published the book, and it was on Amazon. And I got a few negative comments there saying, well, you talk about lookism, but you published a book and you earn money from it, so why can you actually, you know, criticize lookism if you're actually making business out of it? Or things like, you know, like you put your face on your cover, you put your photo on this book cover, and it looks like you're like insanely confident or something, and it makes me really annoyed that person like you would talk about lookism when there's much more people who are, you know, much more, well, to quote that comment she or he wrote, more people uglier than you, so you don't really have the right to talk about lookism. Or, you know, there was a lot of these comments. And then after that, there was, you know, an article about my book, and it connected to Yahoo, which is, you know, we still use a lot of Yahoo in Japan. And Yahoo is very famous for negative comments. And yeah. The, you know, it's probably one of the worst media in Japan right now with the most negative comments. I don't know why, but it's like once you're on Yahoo, you get really, you get attacked, you get by
gripped.
So yeah, so I expected that as well once it got connected to Yahoo, but I looked at it, and then again I got like 30 to 40 negative comments. And yeah, so that was like, if you have time to write a book about lookism, why don't you understand that getting married and having babies is much more beneficial for our country? I thought you work for the government. Why can't you understand that? Something like that. Like, it was insane. Like, it's so insane that it's to the level that it doesn't even hurt me, because it's just, you know, it's just way off topic. And
that's like a personal attack on your life choices as well, though. Like,
yeah, definitely. And at the beginning, like when I wrote the book, I was expecting negative comments on the internet, but at the same time, I was worried about them. And like, because it's not like I get attacked for a random tweet, but I'm getting attacked for a whole essay about a book that I wrote about my life. So I didn't know how I would feel if I got attacked by that. And at the beginning, when I got a few random negative comments on Amazon, I was a little bit hurt, but it was okay, because at the same time I just got like 100 more positive comments from people all over, so that protected me a lot. And you know, that means so much more than these random negative comments. And I think at that point when I saw the Yahoo comments, like, it didn't hurt me at all. And but I think the reason is that I just built a tougher skin these past few months, because, you know, you don't know, like, what and where you can get attacked on, you know, the internet. And I just got kind of used to it. And also, you know, I just know, like, in my heart and head that the positive comments that my friends or the readers give me, just it just means so much more than the negative comments. That's why I got to the point where I don't care. But I don't think, like, building a tougher skin is the solution to negative comments. Like, it shouldn't be like that. Like, the negative comments shouldn't exist, first of all, I feel like.
Well, first of all, can I just say I'm so sorry that you're going through this, because I can't imagine how it feels. Like, I've never experienced anything like that. And I don't know, like, you, although you're getting all this feedback, most of it positive and things like that, I imagine, you can tell me if I'm wrong, that the negative ones just kind of hit a bit stronger. Even though you're getting good ones, probably the negative comments are the ones that stick with you.
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, the first week may be a little bit like that. But at this point, like, it just really, I just don't, I screenshot save these comments with a smile, because it just really doesn't mean anything to me. But I think if I didn't get any positive feedback from anyone, or if I only got positive feedbacks from friends and nobody from, you know, out of the blue, then I might have, you know, doubted myself and said, like, okay, maybe it wasn't the right book at the right timing. But I just know that it was a right choice to write this book, because I just got, you know, so many comments from people I never knew, and like from high school students saying it just saved their life, or like, you know, they would come all the way to pop-up stores to say like how they were struggling from lookism, but now, you know, they have a light in their tunnel and things like that. So that just means so much more. So at this point, like, negative comments, like, it's actually, I actually actively look for these negative comments at this point, because it's just so funny. But I, you know, I mean, I don't think like everybody will react the same way as I do. And I think most people will also, you know, be kind of like cursed with those comments.
Yeah, I think so. Well, first of, yeah, you've got to remember as well that, you know, it's so much easier to criticize other people than actually do something yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure most of the people who are commenting have never been brave enough or vulnerable to share their life story with everybody else. So there's probably a certain element of the fact, you know, you're doing something that they wish they could do, or maybe for some reason, you know, maybe they, I don't know, they don't have the confidence to, maybe they have, don't feel like their life's interesting enough or whatever it might be. So it's so easy to point the finger and, you know, put people down for things that you wish you were doing yourself. You know, when people say, you know, like when there's something that you don't like about someone, it's usually because it's something within you. So,
yeah,
you know, like, let's say someone's a little bit like thirsty or whatever, it's because you have that in you and you don't like that about you, which is why you feel that way about that person. So really and truly, most of these comments are not comments about you. It's about the writer, actually.
Themselves. Yeah.
And I was wondering as well, with the do you ever engage with these comments? Do you reply? Do you leave them? Do you delete them? What do you do?
Well, for Amazon and Yahoo, you can't delete it. Like, there's no option to delete it. So I just leave it as it is.
Yeah.
I don't get negative comments on Twitter or Instagram as much. But if I do, I would just leave it. But if it's too... if it's a criticism kind of comment, I will leave it. But if it's... Sometimes I get comments which are like... dirty comments, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I delete those.
I delete those.
Oh.
But even that, like, you know, like these dirty comments, like, I just deleted in like 1 second. But imagine if I was like 15 or 16, like, I feel like it might be a little bit traumatic. Like, if some person commented on my photo saying, like, you know, like, show me your boobs or something like that. But the reason that they can do it is just because it's, you know, it's because they don't show their face or their real name. So that's why, you know, they can comment whatever they want. But
yeah,
it's tricky because, you know, there's no way to, yeah, and there's no way to stop it, right? Because, you know, everybody can say, like, don't write, you know, negative things on the internet. But there's no actual, you know, like a force to
follow up,
stop that person. Yeah,
I wonder, yeah. There's definitely something about accountability there though, right? Like, I wonder how many of those people would comment what they commented if they knew their face and their real name was next to it.
I know, right? Yeah.
There's something cowardly about it.
I don't think they would say it in real life either, right?
Mm.
Like in a face-to-face conversation.
No.
Oh, it's funny because there is, you know, NHK is a TV program in Japan run by...
channel.
Yeah. And so I have a friend who works for NHK and she's a journalist as well. And she wanted to do a documentary about these negative comments by interviewing somebody who is writing them.
Right.
Or who used to write them or who used to attack somebody on the internet. So she actually sent DMs to a lot of the people who are doing these negative comments saying, can we interview you? We will pay you for that. And if you don't want to show your face on NHK, like on TV, like, we respect that. We just want to know, like, why you do it. And we just want, you know, the voices of the people behind these negative comments. But she said she DM'd at least like 80 people, but nobody responded to it. And instead they would screenshot the DM and then, like, put it on Twitter and say NHK is asking for like the details of these negative comments, like, and nobody would actually respond. And I think that shows that they know that they're doing something that's not right. I mean, like, if they believed in what they were doing, and you know, these negative comments, like if they thought they were actually true, or like if you know, it was doing something good, then I feel like they would actually respond to the interview and say like these negative comments are actually worthy or something like that. But they don't, so I guess they all know that they are doing something which they shouldn't be proud of.
Yeah, that's so true. They're acting guilty. They don't want to own up to it. But also, I wonder, like, psychologically, kind of, like, what's going on there as well. Is it, like, a frustration and, like, you know, is it, like, you're annoyed with things, so you're just trying to put people down to make you feel better? Because I can't imagine feeling that much better after being mean to people. I don't know. I don't get it.
Or maybe it's just, like, a hobby.
Maybe hobby. What's your hobby? Oh, I love to troll people. Do you have any particular like trolling preferences? Yeah, I really like trolling like, you know, intelligent women. Because I think intelligent women need to be brought down a peg because they suck. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. It's a difficult one because obviously as well, like even if you were to reply, like you probably want to reply with like, humor if anything, but you don't want to feed into it as well, and if you engage, you don't know how long is a piece of string, how long will you be writing to them.
Exactly
It's a tough one, isn't it? It's a tough one, but I definitely feel like it's worse in Japan. I mean, like obviously there are trolls everywhere. Like we have trolls like commenting on all sorts of horrible like stories like in the news or whatever here, people that I you know whose opinions I definitely do not agree with, and they're quite mean. But I think it's definitely worse in Japan. Why do you think that is?
I think it's... I feel like a lot of Japanese people don't really speak up about their opinions in real life, like even at work or, you know, even with friends. So I feel like it's easier for them to speak up their minds on the internet. And they just have so many things on their mind that they don't, you know, let it out in their real life, so that they just have to do it on the internet, like cyberspace. Whereas I think, you know, more in, you know, Europe or the States, it's like if something annoyed you or if something was, you know, something like there was an issue that you wanted to put on the table, I feel like more people would actually say it out loud.
Yeah.
Like not in an attacking way, but they would, you know, address the problem out loud, like
they'd confront
in real
it.
Life.
Yeah, that's so true. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, Japan has like this really like wholesome, honest, kind like surface, but it's got a really dark underbelly.
It does. But I'm just so worried about, you know, like teenagers and like the next generation, because you know, it's impossible for them to live without the internet now. I mean, like, when I was in high school, I didn't have a smartphone. You know, I was using, like, Windows Millennium Edition or something. But, you know, like, everybody's going to be on the internet now. And, you know, we have, like, WhatsApp and Line. And I feel like this is a new way to bond, but also a new way to bully somebody, especially, like, on group chat and, you know, like, group messages or, like, social media and things like that as well.
So true. Well, let's have a think of some kind of key points that we think would be useful for to deal with, like, I guess, trolls and negative feedback online. Like, I think, first of all, is I reckon it's really important to tell a friend just so that you can talk about it and get support and make so that also your friend can kind of be in your corner and kind of echo and mirror you. So like rather than, because imagine if the troll's saying, oh yeah, you know, you, I don't know, exploited all these people. If your friend, you know, can kind of see clearly that that's not true, they can kind of reinforce and support you where you are. Whereas if you're just reading all these comments by yourself, it's quite easy to be persuaded. Otherwise, what else can we suggest? Maybe also don't feed them. So don't engage, like don't give them more ether, like you have more food to work with.
I agree, yeah.
And
also just to know that it's not an okay thing to do. And, you know, if it goes to a really extreme direction, you know, for example, like online death threats or things like that. Mm. Like, it is, there is, you know, a point where you can sue that person or, you know, have like legal protection. So we'll, it's not like involved. An okay thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember ages ago, like when I was a teenager, I was getting messages and like death, like threats, and someone was saying that they were going to come around my mom's house and slit my sister's throat and all these horrible oh, things. No.
Like random people?
No, it was someone I knew. I got a restraining order.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know if that makes it better.
Go on.
But I feel like, you know, a lot of time has passed since then, and I'm sure that the police have more in place. Like back then, like, you know, social media was still fairly quite young, yeah. and they didn't have protocols, and they were like, you know, we don't know what to do with cyberbullying. Whereas I think probably now there's a bit more, there's more knowledge there and kind of more measures in place. But I think it would also be really important if you do feel like you're being under attack. I would also suggest like maintaining some privacy, like thinking about how much of your personal life you want to share.
Because
if you put yourself out, and I think it's a really beautiful thing to be vulnerable, and you know, that's clearly what people connect with. You know, we all heard about Brené Brown's like power of vulnerability, and my favorite podcasts are the ones where people are most honest and open about everything, and I'm like, okay, that's real, that's authentic, I connect with that. But at the same time, if you're putting your full life, your full soul, all your heart in, showing all of your scars and showing all of your pain, I think that makes you particularly like if someone attacks you, then it's going to hurt even more. So if it means that maybe you are sharing a little bit less about, I don't know, your personal relationship, or like a little bit less about whatever struggles you have, I think that is also a measure to kind of protect yourself a little bit online anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if you're going to expose your personal life or your feelings or things like that, I think if you have a reason to do that, like, well, let's say for example, like you're in high school, but after you graduate, you really, really want to become like a YouTuber, like you really want to do it. And like, in order to do that, it's just really important to share a part of your personal life. Then I feel like it's okay, but you also have to remember that you did it with your own decision, and you're doing it to, you know, grasp your dream. So, you know, there is a reason that you did it. But if there isn't any reason to actually do it, if you're just doing it because everyone else is doing it, then there's actually, you know, no gain in getting the pain from the cyberbullying. So, I mean, like, if you have the reason to expose, then even if you do get these hate comments, I do think you'll be able to tell yourself, like, there's more to it. Like, you know, there's another milestone ahead. That's why I'm doing this. But if not, then I feel like you don't need to expose that much.
Yeah, just pick and choose.
Yeah, like, it should always be your own decision. And as long as it's your own decision, I feel like maybe it seems too realistic, maybe it's a bit harsh, but at the end of the day, it's your own decision, so you have to own up to it as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I hear you. Oh, you just made me think. So there was, my friend showed me the Instagram account of this Japanese dancer. She's so awesome. She's quite curvy, but she moves so well. She's beautiful, and she just, I don't know, there's something about her that kind of seems to be really like authentic, and the fact that she's so comfortable in herself is just so nice, and it makes me want to be more comfortable in myself watching her. But she also has like, but she responds. She responds to some of these hate comments.
Oh, okay.
And like as reels, and kind of just like laughs about it. And I think it takes a really, really strong person to do that. But I think there is also something really admirable and actually quite, I don't know, I just really look up to her strength, I think. to be like that, particularly in Japan. And, you know, from everything that we were just saying about the pressures of women to look a certain way. I know, like, I get targeted on Instagram for all sorts of horrible, like, diet clinics and solutions and pills, and there's so much available. It's awful. But to see someone like that just being so comfortable in herself, I was just like, this girl's a queen. It was an instant fan.
Oh, it'll be so nice, like, if more of those kind of people got the spotlight on the internet. I mean, like, she probably does have a lot of followers, but if, you know,
I think she does, but a lot of haters
if there were
too.
More and more, I mean, like, if there was more and more of those people, then the younger generation has more options of people to look up to.
Yeah, it's really empowering to see someone really coming into their own, like, and I don't know, I guess she'd probably be a really great person to have as a guest, but I don't know, like, how she deals with the negative comments, whether she feels them or not, but, like, the humor, like, it, she turns it into something funny, and I think that's just so powerful, right? Yeah. But anyway, how are we going to summarize this for you, young lady? What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, I'm actually glad that I don't feel that, you know, the pain with the negative comments. And
you're
as
so
much
strong.
As much as I thought I would, but I actually put, you know, a thought about this with my friend the other day, but it's definitely because I have more love than hate, and it just goes to that at the end. Like, I got so many, you know, love, like, not just the comments, but, you know, like, with this book parties, or, like, you know, like, people buying the book itself or putting on Instagram and Instagram stories, like, that is a lot of love for me. So I just really don't care about these negative comments. And I think it's also because at this point I also have you know, I do have a certain amount of confidence about how I've lived up until today, so it doesn't really matter what these, you know, people on the internet tell me, because I am proud of, like, how I've lived up until today. So, like, no matter what they say, like, I don't even know their faces. So it just really doesn't, you know, mean anything to me. But, yeah, but I think I didn't think that I would feel like this. A part of me thought that I would probably be hurt to some degree. So I was so afraid of that before publishing it. But, yeah, but I'm quite happy that I'm not, you know, taking any of these comments seriously. And I'm just so thankful for all of the love that I got after publishing the book. And
I mean, you know, I was just all shocked thanks to that. When you sent me the, when you posted some of the comments and stuff, I was just I seem so much more worried about it than you. I mean, clearly you're probably one of the strongest people that I know. So you're going to be fine. But I was just like...
But I think I don't get hurt from the comments, but I do get annoyed that these people are still, you know, there in the real world.
Yeah.
I mean, like, these people who think like this still exist in the same society that I do. And that annoys me a little bit.
Okay, well, maybe we need to send them a bit of love and compassion then, hey?
ネット上のアンチコメントとかって、なんか私は出版してからやっぱ時々あるけど、まあそれの何百倍と温かいコメントとか前向きなことが多かったので、やっぱり全然気にならないくらい、そっちの方が大事だっていうのを心でも頭でも分かるから、まあ全然 気にならないし、なんかむしろ面白いくらいなんだけど、でもやっぱりこう匿名だし顔も出てないっていう時点ですごい不公平だし、そういう人がこの世にいるっていうだけでもやっぱりまあ不愉快ではあるけど、それをこう強制的にストップする力がまあ、あるわけじゃないし、やっぱネットって各々自由に書き込めちゃうのが現状だから、まあどっちかっていうと今の10代のこの方がこれから心配だなみたいな気持ちは あります。けど、まあそういう中でもね、こう生きていかなきゃいけないから、自分で自分を守るスキルをどんどんこう身につけていくのがいいのかなとは思います。
私もそう思います。
Oh, so far we haven't got any hate comments for our podcast.
I know. I think it's also because we're still quite small. So
yeah,
I think the bigger we get, we'll probably get a few. But so everybody, help us get bigger and spread the news and share the podcast with a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. To the degree that we'll get anti-comments, like negative comments as well.
Yay!
Okay, thank you for listening again.
Thank you.
So today we talked about negative comments, 今日アンチコメントについて話しました。ちょっと30分超えちゃったんですけど、また、近々次のエピソードもアップしますので、また聞いてね。じゃあまたね。
バイバイ。